Welcome to The Winnow, a podcast about dining in the South and beyond. I'm Hannah Raskin, food editor at The Post and Courier.
I'm Dave Infante, food reporter at The Post and Courier. Hannah, I'm a little under the weather today, so please forgive my voice.
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't sound great.
I'm so sorry. I didn't even notice.
Well, you know, I'm not my normal chipper self this morning.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, again, I didn't even notice.
Yeah,
so,
well, I'm mostly apologizing to our listeners. If anyone is very sensitive to, like, the sound of someone that's mildly sick, my voice will be annoying today.
That sometimes happens when you listen to a podcast. You're like, oh, you should have just stayed home. I've definitely had that. You feel like it feels contagious.
Here at The Winnow, we must
soldier on.
We must soldier on, and so we shall.
Right. So speaking of soldiering on, it's Thanksgiving.
Soldiers, they love it.
First of all, I'm sure they do because, like, you get a good meal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't speak for the soldiers, but what I meant was the resiliency of the pilgrims.
Not only the resiliency of the pilgrims, but fast forward to today, the resiliency of everyone who's traveling home for Thanksgiving and getting back to their loved ones. Is it the biggest travel day of the year?
I believe it's still the biggest travel day of the
year.
I think
today is the biggest travel day of the year.
Yeah.
Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Right. I'm traveling Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I have a flight to catch, I think, later today.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Gotcha.
I'm going to be in that nightmare situation.
Right. So as I go north to where my family lives, a childhood friend who lives where my family does is coming south, and she tomorrow will be celebrating Thanksgiving here in South Carolina at what is believed to be, although I cannot wait for readers to tell me I'm wrong about this, the biggest private Thanksgiving celebration in the entire state.
In the whole state? How big is this thing?
On a good year, it depends on the weather, but on a good year, it should be 450 people.
450 people? How many turkeys is that? That's the question that everyone wants to know.
And that's a really good question. So here's the interesting thing. They don't do any planning.
What? Yeah. Is it like an art installation or something?
Kind of. I mean, it is at a hunting club, so it's kind of the opposite of that, but it's also, it is a total free-for-all.
This is chaotic energy.
Right? Yeah.
I'm getting hives right now just thinking about this. Okay, so wait, take me through this. So your friend is coming down. What's her connection to the party?
Her connection is, so the party began in the 1920s. A group of men had a hunt club together. So that's, you know, a thing in South Carolina where you would all have hunting land that you share and they were at the club together. And they especially liked to go hunting on days that they didn't have to work, Thanksgiving included. And the families of these hunters were sorry that they weren't there for Thanksgiving dinner. So the men, being men, said, bring the dinner to us. And so Thanksgiving has been held at the Damon Hunt Club since about 1920s, 1930s. The club itself has been there since 1927, and nobody can quite remember the day that they had the first Thanksgiving. But interestingly enough, the Hunt Club is named for a man named Damon, who preceded the founding of the Hunt Club. He was a known taxidermist and was working on that land. And the Smithsonian had asked him if he could please kill and stuff two turkeys. So appropriately enough, the Hunt Club is in fact named for a man who was known for his turkeys.
Not only turkeys, but stuffing turkeys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's very on the nose. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, the kind of stuffing that could live in the museum.
Right.
That kind of stuffing. Right.
Where in South Carolina is this?
This is nearest to Darlington.
And right where is Darlington?
Darlington
for someone who doesn't know.
It's up by Florence.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, so they don't plan. I want to understand a little bit more what that means.
It means everything that you would associate with a Thanksgiving celebration or you would, you know, put on your to-do list, they don't do any of it. So no invitations, no assigning of dishes, no RSVPs. You just know if your family is part of this or if you've ever been invited, you can go for the rest of your life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do they stock it properly? How do they purchase food and beverage?
No. They don't purchase any food or beverage. It's a potluck.
Oh,
and
okay.
So,
all right. This makes a lot more sense.
Right. But they don't ask who's bringing what, and it always just works out perfectly.
Okay, so you're telling me that not everyone shows up with the same thing, because that's obviously what you're trying to avoid in a potluck situation.
Correct. Or they do show up with the same thing, so there are enough turkeys.
Right.
To go around, right? You don't want just one person to bring the turkey. It seems that it always works.
Who voluntarily brings the turkey. That seems like the least fun thing to do.
Right. So basically, this is how they've made it work, which is that if there is to be terrible weather, you're going to be stuck at home. You can't go to the hunt club, so you better have a Thanksgiving ready. So basically, people are bringing their Thanksgiving dinners.
I see. Yeah. So people, okay, this makes more sense.
Right.
Here.
Right.
And so you said what? 450.
450.
Oh my goodness. Yep. How do they seat everyone? Is it a big hall?
No, it's not. It's a small, like, little cabin arrangement. But they don't go in there. They're all on the outside. And if you want to sit, you've got to bring a chair.
So you bring your own food.
Bring your own chair. Yes.
And what's the upside here?
The upside is you get to eat any of the food that's brought. So somebody brings a cooker and he does pork shoulder, you know, and then, of course, all the things that people have been hunting and killing for the last couple months. So you can eat a bear and you can eat a deer and you can eat, you know, hundreds of pies from across South Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you ever been to a potluck Thanksgiving?
I'm opposed to potlucks.
Opposed to potlucks across the board.
Well, I from a food safety standpoint,
is that right?
Oh my gosh. You know, you read all these accounts in older newspapers where it's like, you know, like every wedding used to be a potluck, and you would see in the newspaper, it'd be like, so, you know, the bride died.
Right.
Like,
everyone has botulism.
Right. There's another wedding party down. I am incredibly suspicious of potlucks. I have gone to school and worked in workplaces where there are potlucks, and I always make sure not to be there.
Okay. I do want to differentiate. Like, the workplace potluck is a very specific animal.
Right.
And that's not something I want to participate in
culturally
or culinarily.
Correct.
So, like, I'm with you on that part of it. But it does seem like a dinner party at someone's house.
Yeah,
know the people coming, that
true.
Type of thing?
I've done that. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of you will, like, drop your guard a little bit on potlucks.
I guess that's right. Right. What? If I've selected the guest list and know what's coming. Yeah.
And know that those guests cherish food safety as much as you do.
You got it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
What about the Darlington, or the Hunt Club one? Would you participate?
I think I would
like
participate in that.
Purely from a reporter anthropological standpoint, or would you actually enjoy the meal?
I think I would enjoy the meal.
Okay.
If the weather was good.
You would suspend your apprehension about
I think
that.
I would try.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. I would try.
What would you bring to a Thanksgiving potluck?
Well, it sounds like in this case, again, people are bringing multiple things. It's not like you're just bringing one.
Oh, what would you bring?
I know. So, but if you're saying if there was a single dish rather than to bring the whole spread.
Right.
What would I bring? I mean, I feel like I've experimented with various things over the years. I don't have a single Thanksgiving dish. Do you, have something you're known for?
I'm not really known for anything in particular. I'd like to be known for stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
That's if I could pick my Thanksgiving energy, so to speak.
Right.
I would like to be a stuffing master.
Got it.
Sausage, diced celery, things of this nature.
Yeah.
That's where I would like my persona to sort of go vis-a-vis Thanksgiving. But I can't claim that I have that vibe just yet.
Yeah.
But that's a lot to, that's what everyone wants.
Right.
Everyone wants to be the stuffing person or the maybe like a candied yams person.
I'll tell you what they say they need at Damon Hunt Club. I know you'll be out of town, but should you want to go to this event, although I think I know a guy, what they really need are more carvers.
I love to carve.
Yeah.
Why don't people carve?
It's a lost art.
Oh, I don't know how artfully I do it, but I carve that
thing.
Well,
if you can carve, a lot of people they don't carve anymore.
I have watched so many carving videos on YouTube.
There you go.
Like, really studied them.
Yeah.
So I feel actually more, above average capable of doing that sort of task.
Well, that is what would be most cherished.
Okay.
At the club.
At the Damon Club.
Yeah.
But they don't prep for that either. So what happens if they only have one carver and like 20 birds?
I guess you just tear into it. I mean, that's the fun of being outside.
Just
you're going to get messy.
It.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know, I assume when you were reporting this out, did you find that there were specific, hunt club traditions with regards to Thanksgiving?
Yeah, not necessarily. No, it's not like if you have a hunt club, you have Thanksgiving. This was just sort of an idiosyncrasy. I'm sure there are other hunt clubs elsewhere that have Thanksgivings. But, everybody I talk to, I ask them, one, how do you describe this to other people who, never seen anything like it? And have you ever heard of anything like it? And these guys are in hunting circles and they have not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a particular type of game that's prized for the Thanksgiving table?
No.
Venison?
No, bear. I mean, they definitely have venison. When I was up there, I ate a venison cheeseburger, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Venison. Yeah, venison, bear. Just, it sort of depends, too, because obviously a lot of these folks, I mean, they've been around South Carolina for a long time. These are old, wealthy families in many cases. So it's not, I don't know if it's unusual, but once in a while, one of them will have just gone on safari or something. So sometimes they have more exotic meat.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So they bring back the meat. Oh, from
safari? This is when you're going to show it off. I don't know, safari. Like, I don't think they're eating elephants or whatever it is. I don't know what you shoot on a safari.
Me neither.
Lions?
Tigers?
No.
Bears? Oh, my.
I don't know. But
hey,
so they,
Emery, do you know what you shoot on a safari?
Pictures.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
giraffe?
Controversial things, I think.
Right. This was before, this is a brief aside, but please indulge me.
This whole thing is an aside.
That's right. Remember, this is going back to like 2015 or so, ancient history in the internet age, but there was a dentist
from
the Midwest who like went to safari and then got canceled before we knew what cancel culture even was, really.
Right.
For posing with, like, I forget what the animal, was it the animal lion? I think he killed a lion.
And the lion had a name?
It had a name, which is super unfortunate for that dude.
Right.
I think the name really pushed it into like online viral fodder.
Right.
But this was pre-Harambe, too, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that because there was a CNN article where it was like, the lion's brother, also a lion.
Amazing.
Hey, man. I mean, you got to make sure that the readers know. They got to understand who the sources are. Also a lion.
Also a lion.
Well, so maybe there's lion at Damon Hunt Club, but probably not.
Probably not. Gator, for sure, is more common.
Yeah.
So things here. But again, as they travel, you know, different hogs of various types.
Hogs.
Yeah.
Feral.
Hogs,
non-feral.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah. You never know who's going to show up.
Is it a boozy event? Like, do people, like, so, get pretty loaded or
great
what?
Question. So it used to be that coffee was the beverage of choice because, you know, before global warming, it was cold out there in November.
Right.
And there was a certain way they had of making coffee for hundreds, which wasn't just, like, to have a large urn. It had something to do with, like, a wash pot and a stick. And there was this way they make coffee.
Speaking of food safety concerns.
Interesting. Nobody liked it. And then
what's the thing everyone knows about our coffee? Oh, everyone hates it.
Right. So nobody liked the coffee. And then, to make matters worse, the only person who knew how to make it, he died. And so then they couldn't make the coffee or didn't want to make the coffee. So coffee kind of petered out. And then for a while, there wasn't any sort of beverage drinking at all. But then maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, I have to check my notes, in the very recent past, they started renting port-a-johns. And now people want to drink.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it used to be there was just one tiny bathroom in the club itself and 450 people. And so people intentionally did not drink while they were there.
But then?
Then they got the port-a-johns and now everyone brings wine.
Things just changed.
Yeah, now it's getting boozy.
That's pretty funny.
Isn't that interesting?
I wonder what inspired the port-a-john move.
I think...
the plumbing in that one bathroom.
Right? Yeah. No.
Overwhelmed.
It wasn't that. It was something like they had it for some other reason. You know, it's like one of these fortuitous things. And they're like, this is awesome. We're doing it every year.
So,
yeah.
So that was their sort of like lightning strike moment.
Now
So has the tenor of the event changed at that time?
I think it's always been pretty rowdy, even prior to, I mean, no, rowdy is the wrong word for it. It's a family event. But, you know, you've got kids up in the trees and, you know, it's a holiday.
So tell me about getting invited to this type of thing. Now, your friend is going to be there, but do other people, like, get invited as guests of the families that are related to or that are in the club?
You could be. Generally, you would marry into an invitation the way my friend did, but it sounds like you could be. If you were a stand-up kind of person, and somebody could bring you, and once you got brought, you can keep coming back.
Okay.
Yep.
And how does that work? You basically just say, well, don't you remember I was here with the Smiths, like, 4 years ago?
It's
good.
An unorganized event, so I don't think anyone's, like, checking you in.
Gotcha.
Like,
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. What are, as someone who's only spent one Thanksgiving in South Carolina, and that was by myself or with just my fiance, and we didn't like go to a party or anything. Are there particular dishes that always show up on a South Carolina Thanksgiving table?
Oysters.
Oysters?
Yeah. I mean, at least here, that would be the common thing, would be to have oyster dressing or to have roasted oysters. Or a lot of these folks who are doing the Hunt Club Thanksgiving, after they finish Thanksgiving, then they go home and have a celebration with just their immediate family, and they roast some oysters.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or the night before. So this is, it becomes days of partying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is hash part of Thanksgiving, or is hash its own separate thing?
We can talk about that on another show.
Oh, okay.
I got a whole separate hash thing going
My
on.
Bad.
No, not at all.
Oh, I don't want to scoop you on the hash.
Yeah, no.
My mistake.
We'll come back to hash.
Cut this out of the podcast.
No hash.
My bad. No hash problem. Free.
Yeah.
Okay.
How regional is mac and cheese as a Thanksgiving side? Do you find that to be?
I think you find it everywhere.
Everywhere?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's everywhere. Everywhere that Southerners have gone. I think it may have started here first.
Okay.
But by this point, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This weekend I watched Bon Appetit has a new season or a new show on YouTube. Where they got all their whole like cast together, and they have to make like collaboratively a Thanksgiving dinner. And I was just watching the first episode where they're like all together planning out like who's going to make what, and it is wild. Absolutely wild. They're just like so far out of like what I think normal Thanksgiving dishes. I mean, obviously they make a turkey, but then otherwise like they're making like crazy salads and everything, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that's always a question about Thanksgiving, about soups and salads. Like, every magazine for their Thanksgiving spread always has soups and salads, and I have found that neither of those go over particularly well in the traditional setting.
No one
setting.
Wants that.
Nobody
I mean, a salad is
that.
Nice to have, like, a little bit of freshness, like, to as, like, a palate cleanser, I guess, little bit, but, like, no one really wants it.
Yeah, I mean, I would just, like, roast some vegetables. If you want some greens, like...
Right.
Yeah.
I think that the soup and the salad situation for Thanksgiving is just like a big glossy magazine like ploy to fill more.
That's
page
what I mean.
Space.
Yeah. I don't think you need either a soup or the soup is especially complicated. That's because with the whole service and it's like, you know, you
need a whole separate table. Then
you need a
soup,
depending how
and
you
set up. Like,
yeah,
and
yeah. So that's a mess.
Ladle.
What else were they cooking on Bon Appetit?
Let me think. Let's see.
Did pâté make an appearance? Like, are we talking about, like, you know, charcuterie?
No.
I think there was. They did start talking about. I didn't. So I only watched the first episode. So I didn't get
like,
to
these guys are crazy.
The part where. It's interesting enough because they like do go through like step by step and like test everything and then like tell you like what worked and what didn't. So that's interesting enough. I mostly just was taken aback by the side discussion. And they were, I think, they ended up making, I wish I remembered this now better. They ended up making a few decent sides, like some kind of braised, some kind of glazed Brussels sprouts. But that, to me, felt pretty normal. I just felt like the salad discussion was really, really wild to me, and the soup discussion was really wild.
But now it's
interesting to me that you say that, because I was curious like how regional that might be, but it sounds like that's just more magazine brain.
I think that's magazine brain. What about breads? Do y'all do bread on your Thanksgiving table?
We usually have rolls.
Rolls.
All right.
Yeah. What about you?
We do cornbread.
Cornbread.
But I grew up in the shadow of the Jiffy factory.
Cornbread, not really a bread, in my opinion.
Oh,
it's bread. It says bread right there.
Well, it says it's bread. Yeah, but, you know, sweet bread's not a bread. You know?
No, not even close to a bread. But what
That's
do you
what
require?
I'm saying.
What do you require from your bread?
I think I
Does
need
it have
more,
to rise.
No, yeah. So rising is very important to
me.
Okay. I'm not going to rule out non-rising bread, but I think the fact that it doesn't have like lateral like continuity through it, like it will just. I'm trying to think of the best way to explain this.
Lateral continuity.
I like cornbread. I should have started with that. I have many friends who are cornbread, but
what does that mean? What is lateral continuity?
So you know how like if you go to rip, for example, a baguette, you're not going to be able to just like pull it apart, side to side. You have to rip across it. Can you envision this? Hannah, you're just, for everyone who can't see this, Hannah's just silently laughing at me.
Well, because I'm imagining you take the pan of cornbread. You've done this? You take a whole pan of cornbread and you pull it.
No, I'm not saying that, like, that's what I want to do with cornbread, but I like the bread, my bread to have more structure. It doesn't have a crust. Mm. It's not, like, it, I don't know, like, cornbread just sort of, like, falls out of the
okay,
pan.
Okay, so I think you're saying that's, like, kind of cakey.
It's definitely cakey. Okay. Yeah, but I'm sorry, does cakey sound more professional than lateral virginity? Well, I should have just been, oh, it's cakey.
Well, no, because, but not every cornbread crumbles, right? I mean, you could have a cornbread with structural integrity.
Is that right?
Could you make a corn baguette? I feel like I could.
Ooh, you probably could. Now you know what you're making for Thanksgiving.
Dude, that would be disgusting. If it were like a baguette crust, but you rip it open, it's just like cornbread in the middle. I don't like that at all.
No, that would be like a New Year's cracker, like a Christmas cracker,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Like you think you're getting bread, and then it's perfect for Thanksgiving.
Is cornbread a dessert for you or a side?
No, it's a side.
Side? What
yeah.
about you,
side,
Henry?
Side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
dessert is pie.
Pie. It's gotta be pie.
Pie.
What's your go-to pie, Hannah?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because my mother took a survey this year because she doesn't actually make the pies. She buys the pies. And so she surveyed all of us will be at the table, whether we wanted pumpkin, apple, or pecan pie. And it was a tie.
What'd you answer?
I think I needed to know what else we were having. Like, I think there should be nuts at some point in Thanksgiving. So I needed to know, like, will the vegetables also have nuts? And if not, then I feel like the pecan pie. I think I went with pumpkin in the end.
Pumpkin's a tough pie. Mm. If execution is lacking, that's a bad pie.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad. You're right. I think they're probably the percentage of bad to good is probably highest percentage bad with pumpkin.
I got a bourbon pecan pie from Brown's Court last year.
Mm.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Actually, it was extremely dense and flavorful, and I enjoyed that immensely.
Yeah.
What kind of pie do you do, Emery?
Oh, pecan is normally what I go for, but I think you're right. Like the execution there is really, and usually I go store bought. I mean, I think both of those are ones that it's just not usually worth the effort to make yourself, especially pumpkin.
Yeah,
I find that pumpkin pie is really hard to make well, and just like honestly, Costco does it well enough. I'm probably not going to do a better job than Costco did with it.
Right.
But. The thing that I don't like about pecan pie is when it's like, it can be really cloyingly sweet.
Yeah. So sweet.
Yeah. So I like the more, like when they're boozier, when they're really rich, when they got that kind of more of a molassesy flavor to it as opposed to just like real sweet. But.
Right. I do like to do it like a cheese course for dessert at Thanksgiving. I feel like by that point in the meal, because at least, I mean, the way it's prepared, I don't know. I always like to have cheese after Thanksgiving.
I'm with that.
Seems to go along. Because I'm trying to think, like, is there cheese? We don't do mac and cheese in my family generally. So it's like a missing food group. And at that point, you've eaten so many things and you haven't eaten anything. I mean, I don't think you've eaten any dairy in my house at
not
that point.
Not a lot of dairy at Thanksgiving
no,
in general.
No, butter. I mean, there's butter, but not like, butter and everything.
What about at the Hunt Club? Is there a specific dessert?
No, I somewhere have the list. One of the members tried to remember all the desserts she could. It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
And now that the people are bringing their grandchildren, there's a lot more vegan desserts.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, that's unexpected.
That's what I thought.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Very progressive.
Yeah,
up at the Hunt Club.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Good for them.
Vegan dessert at the Hunt Club.
Yeah. Right. It's so weird.
It's
I mean,
a brave
there's just
new
their
world.
Heads everywhere. But yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. Great. Well, Dave, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Hannah.
And I will see you back here after the holiday. If you need to get in touch with us now or anytime, I'm at hraskin@postandcourier.com.
I'm dinfante@postandcourier.com. Well,
happy Thanksgiving.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
All right, good enough.
And that's all for this episode of The Winnow. The Winnow is a production of The Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina. It was edited and directed by me. I'm J. Emery Parker. See y'all later.